Jobs grow at the fastest pace in 3 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, April 2nd at Marketplace.org. I'm Bill Radke. After so many months of jobs disappearing, the government said this morning our economy created 162,000 jobs in March. Now, the official unemployment rate stays at 9.7%. Stay tuned for more on all that in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? No swing on Wall Street today because the market's closed for Good Friday. Same thing in Europe and most of Asia today. The U.S. bond markets are open, and after that report of job growth, interest rates are up a little bit. Signs of an improving economy tend to pull investors out of the safe treasuries, and that'll push interest rates up. Let's bring in Chief Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial with us live from New York. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So this is not the first month we have seen jobs grow since the recession. There have been little pokes above the ground, but 162,000 jobs added in March. Is this a breakthrough?
It is. And they're really, it's a terrific report. Three quarters of the jobs are in the private sector. Only a quarter of the jobs are temporary workers. So it's not just that we had job growth. We had a good mix of job growth as well.
Now, Chris, we have been warning people that some of this growth, it was going to come, but a lot of it was going to be in government hiring for the U.S. Census. And that, of course, won't last. So factoring that in, how big a deal is this?
Well, there was good news there in a way as well, because there were fewer census workers hired than expected, only 48,000. That's less than half of what was expected. And what's nice is the government's committed to hire a certain number. So those will show up in future months.
Okay. Now, Chris, the unemployment rate doesn't budge. It stays at 9.7%. Remind us how that can be.
Well, yeah, there were more people hired, but at the same time, people are feeling more optimistic. And as a result, the labor force rose by about the same amount that hiring was up. So it's no net change in the unemployment rate, but there are people who have jobs who didn't last month.
And Chris, we have a few more seconds. Care to tell us what you think this means for the rest of, say, this year?
Absolutely. You know, we've had job growth now 3 months since the recession ended, and it's at an accelerating pace with an improving quality. I would expect to see quite a bit more job growth continuing through the year and accelerating through the year.
Chief Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to hear. Good to hear about job creation. Also, though, we do have some new statistics on personal bankruptcy this morning that do not look so good. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
What are these bankruptcy numbers?
Well, personal bankruptcy filings are now at the highest level since late 2005, according to a big data collection company, Acer. 2005 is when bankruptcy law was tightened up. So for a while, that kept people out of bankruptcy court, but now they're heading back. There were 158,000 personal bankruptcies filed in March. That's 7,000 a day. It's up about 20% since a year ago. Keep in mind, a lot of people finally hit the end of the road a year or more after a recession hits. So now's actually when we'd expect to see this bulge in bankruptcies.
And how much of this is tied to job losses and the housing market crash?
Well, those two are probably the bulk of the reason. Job loss is sort of obvious, no money to pay the bills. The housing issue is a little more complex. A lot of people are now underwater. They owe much more on their mortgage than the house is worth, and we're starting to see them default rather than keep paying that mortgage. These people are increasingly filing the simpler version, Chapter 7 of bankruptcy. That's where you just walk away from your debts and you can't save your house.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thank you.
You're welcome.
This morning's employment report was good news for the economy, but for tens of thousands of people, it doesn't matter. This is the last week of benefits checks for people who've been receiving extended unemployment benefits. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports from New York.
Rodolfo Franco found an ominous message when he opened his unemployment check this week. Benefit year ending, April 12th.
That never was there before.
He's been getting $280 a week since he lost his job at a cell phone store. But his 99 weeks of unemployment benefits are about to run out, and he doesn't know what's going to happen next.
What else can I do? I mean, just trying to see if I can get some type of income.
Franco's one of tens of thousands of people in New York and across the country who are reaching the outer limits of their unemployment insurance. Chad Stone is chief economist at the think tank Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
There are not that many good options when you run out of benefits, because it's still very, very hard to find a job.
Stone says there are other government programs like food stamps and, in dire cases, welfare. Congress is expected to approve another extension of benefits when it returns from break on April 12th, but that won't help people like Franco, who've already claimed the maximum amount. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
American companies trying to do business in China are facing a lot of challenges. The language and culture divides, the ripoff of technology and media. But a report out today says the biggest problem is something that Google could tell you about, the so-called China rules of growing government regulation and protectionism. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
American companies face a mounting number of policy challenges in China. So says a survey by the American Chamber of Commerce in Beijing. The big beef? AmCham President Christian Merck says Beijing is ramping up industrial policy
to stimulate and support some new industries and some national champion companies. And those kinds of industrial policies are often, we feel, discriminatory against foreign companies.
Merck says one problem is Chinese government offices will only be able to procure products whose technology was developed at home, not overseas. The survey is the latest indication that China's becoming a tougher place to do business. But there's no sign of corporate exodus beyond the partial pullout of Google. 75% of American companies responding see China as a top three priority for global investment. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
A nationwide train strike in the UK has been averted. A court has banned the walkout, which would have caused havoc for commuters and Easter vacationers. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports the railway work stoppage would have been the first in 16 years.
The four-day strike by rail staff was due to begin next Tuesday. It would have stopped 80% of rail services for commuters and holidaymakers. The High Court, however, blocked the walkout due to voting irregularities during the strike ballot. Votes were counted from a number of workstations that don't exist. In one case, votes were recorded from a building that burned down a year ago. The union involved remains defiant. Outside the court, union leader Bob Crowe promised that after a fresh ballot, there would be a strike.
It's just a temporary halt to the hostilities that are taking place. But one thing's for sure, that we're coming out fighting. Round one, 15 rounds of a fight, and round two will start very shortly.
But a national rail strike now looks impossible before the election expected next month. The British government will be greatly relieved. The ruling Labour Party has close links with unions and has already been damaged by the strike at British Airways. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Friday is finally here, and if tonight is date night for you, well, then you're lucky, because for a lot of people, unemployment has put a big hurt on their social lives. Let's hear more from Youth Radio's Summer Sewell.
A year ago, Emmanuel Ricketts lost his job and his income. Soon after, he broke up with his girlfriend.
It was weird. We would get into a lot of fights on the weekend because there's an expectation to do stuff.
He says he couldn't afford his girlfriend. He had no extra money for dinners or movies.
When I lost my job and I had to slow things down, I don't know if she got, like, the real memo about that.
And that's just a fact of life for a lot of young people. No job, no relationship. Frank Blaney is director of youth development at Peace Over Violence. That's a nonprofit organization in Los Angeles. He works with high school students.
It's a lot of internal pressure, and I think sometimes that may cause them to even step back or out of a relationship just because they know they don't have the resources to make this whole thing roll.
There are no hard statistics for teen breakups, but money experts say financial problems in relationships can start young. Blaney says parents often don't realize that their children worry about having enough money to date.
I think a lot of them are probably unaware how big of a factor that is, since they're not seeing how young people socialize.
He says economic anxiety plays a key role in teen breakups, just like adults. More than half of married couples get divorced because of financial problems. Still, Emmanuel Ricketts says he's a long way off from getting hitched. For now, dating is on the back burner because of his money woes. But he says his current situation will help him have a healthier relationship in the future.
I feel I did the wrong thing in building up this expectation that I couldn't keep up throughout the entire relationship. And it's going to make me analyze who this person is, what their motives are beforehand, because I'm not established yet.
He's waiting to find a partner who is a little, or maybe a lot, more understanding. I'm Summer Sewell for Marketplace.
That feature was produced by Youth Radio. The Arena Football League season starts today. And boy, is that good news if you work at one of those arenas. Reporter Steve Milne says there just have not been many big events to book lately.
Stockton, California opened its municipal arena back in 2005. It was supposed to generate money by attracting crowds for indoor football, hockey games, rodeos, and rock concerts. But instead, it's lost more than $9 million. City spokeswoman Connie Cochran says officials are trying to stop the financial bleeding.
We definitely are interested in restructuring the operations and management of the arena, and we've hired a consultant to do that.
The arena is one of dozens around the country struggling under the weight of the recession, says Mark Rosentraub, professor of sports management at the University of Michigan. He says many arenas are just the victim of bad timing.
See, for me, the real issue was the strategy, a good one. Building the kind of entertainment infrastructure that attracts and retains human capital is a good idea. But in the midst of a very severe recession, there's going to be problems.
City leaders in Stockton blame poor management for the money problems at their arena. Whatever the reason, though, the facility can't count on arena football to help fill its coffers. The Stockton Lightning arena football team has suspended operations because of financial problems. I'm Steve Milne for Marketplace.
And finally, here's all the week's business news in a Marketplace minute. In the words of the president, drill, baby, drill. Or was that Sarah Palin? Well, drill we will. South of New Jersey, to be more specific, and north of Alaska, but not the Pacific. As long as we're still using oil in our cars, Obama is saying, then let it be ours. Speaking of which, the EPA set mileage standards yesterday. 35 for both highway and city. Compared to that, my minivan's not good. Speaking of which, when their gas pedal fails, you'd think that Toyota would go off the rails, and yet this week's look at their data unveils that March was in fact pretty good for their sales, because when they got inventive with buyer incentive, consumers were suddenly very attentive. Now, you would think that the point of being in debt is things that you want, you're not able to get, and yet the iPad has early adopters hovering sort of like helicopters. Will the iPad transform you? There's no guarantee. So tell us at marketplace.org. The video version of the Marketplace Minute is up there at our website. We hope to see you online. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.